Chapter 3. It was several weeks before I told Barry my real name, and when I did, he said that he too was traveling through this life under an alias. "It's the American way, right?" he said. "Like John Garfield, like Kirk Douglas." He was talking about two movie stars who had transmuted their Jewish-sounding names into something much more American. The war may have taken care of Hitler, but anti-Semitism still lingered, like the bad breath of a person with the flu. "Give us a kiss, Shapiro," he said to me, "and stop looking so worried. What have you got to be so worried about?" Barry had grown far more familiar with me since our first meeting over a carpet, having assumed a kind of cheeky attitude which I three-quarters liked. The rest made me a little nervous. "That carpet charade wasn't really you," I said. "Sure it was. It was my job. I did a good job. But it wasn't really you." "Just another side of me," he said. "We all have a lot of sides, even you. Especially you." And he gave one of his melting looks that touched me so deeply I felt my cheeks go hot. By this time, Barry was fully inserted into our ménage, now à trois. Phyllis had no inkling of its true nature. After I persuaded Barry to move in with us, and it didn't take much persuasion as he was living in a crummy room at the Y and hated it, I had to tackle Phyllis's justifiable reluctance. My imagination went into overdrive. I told her that Barry had been a driver overseas during the war and added, not true, that he had been Omar Bradley's personal driver for 6 months. "You couldn't ask for better than that," I said.
"But, Walt, we don't even own a car. We don't need a car. We take cabs." "Why am I telling you this? You know this. I don't..."